Adam is a individual that lives in Pennsylvania. Ms. Wurzik is a college student. She her permanent residence is in Missouri, but I believe she goes to the University of Georgia. This also was a defamation case. We're here. Judge Womack granted our special appearances, and the appellant has appealed that ruling. There's really a couple of things that I'd like to accomplish during my argument. I'd like to talk a little bit about the standard of review. I'd like to talk a little bit about the burden of proof. I also have another opinion that's not cited in my brief that I think would be helpful for the court. Addressing the burden of proof, we all agree that this is a whether a court can exercise personal jurisdiction over a non-resident is a question of law, but sometimes factual disputes have to be resolved underlying that. So what this court, the task is to review Judge Womack's determination on a de novo basis, and you look only at the issues that were before the court at the time. Now, the appellant in her brief has raised, I count, three brand new arguments for the first time on appeal. She's alleging that because there's conspiracy allegations, that the contacts of a co-conspirator can be imputed to the out-of-state defendants. She's alleging that there's some negligent publication, and also she's alleging for the first time that there's general jurisdiction. I mentioned that I had another case that I thought was helpful. It's the John Hopkins University versus NATH, N-A-T-H. It's 238 Southwest 3rd, 492. It's out of the 14th Court in Houston. And I like this opinion because it really goes through in pretty good detail the various standards of review that the court will use in this setting, depending on whether the appellant is arguing a legal error, whether the appellant is arguing a legal insufficiency of the facts, or a factual insufficiency. And that, in that opinion, it really goes through all of that very nicely, and the court will see that the burdens on each of those are very difficult burdens. In the appellant's brief, it's really unclear what they're complaining of other than saying Judge Womack is wrong. They don't say if it's factually insufficient, if there's legally insufficient, and of course there are no findings of fact in this case, so the judge has to, or the court will presume that all findings are implied in favor of the judgment. So I encourage the court to look at that case. With respect to the burden of proof, the appellant in her brief does not really address that, and then for very good reason, I think. Our brief describes how the burden shifts back and forth in a special appearance setting, and the plaintiff has the initial burden to, at the very least, describe how the defendant has minimum contacts to justify bringing them into the state of Texas. If you look at the appellant's brief in this case, there are no allegations. And in that setting, all we're required to do is file a special appearance to say we're not amenable to contact to jurisdiction because we don't have sufficient contacts. We don't live in Texas. We did that. She filed another affidavit. We filed. Then the burden shifts back to us. We filed an additional affidavit that lists all the reasons why we have never had any contact with the state of Texas. And all those facts are really undisputed.
Just to clarify something for me, how long after the defense complained of was the lawsuit filed? Was it more than 1 year?
No, I think they filed it on the last, pretty close to the last day before the limitations were expired. And really, the gist of this case is, when you get down to it, is they allege that one of the defendants, who's a Texas resident, who's not a part of this appeal, took an affidavit that they had signed in a Michigan lawsuit. They brought it down to Fort Worth and used it for an administrative reasons with an organization called the American Paint Horse Association. And the Texas defendant submitted those affidavits, and she alleges that those affidavits had defamatory statements in it. They didn't have anything to do with the affidavits coming to Texas. It's undisputed. It's undisputed that they didn't anticipate that they were going to be used in Texas. It's undisputed that they had no earthly idea that any of this was going to happen in Texas. It was a unilateral act of a third party, undisputed. And the law is very clear on that. You cannot use unilateral contact by a third party to justify jurisdiction over an out-of-state defendant. Now, I mentioned that there are three new arguments in the brief. One of the arguments is I'm alleging conspiracy, and because the Texas resident was part of the conspiracy and he did all these things in Texas, I'm going to impute the Texas resident's contacts to the out-of-state defendants. It's a very clever argument, but it's not the law. The Texas Supreme Court has addressed that issue and rejected it, says we're not going to do that. Second new argument is the out-of-state defendants should have known that the effects of their alleged defamatory statements would have damaging effects in Texas because the plaintiff resides in Texas and she runs her business in Texas, and they should have known that by making these alleged statements that it would have devastating effects down in Texas. Again, a very clever argument, but again, it is not the law. Texas Supreme Court, it's called the effects test. The Texas Supreme Court has addressed that and said, no, that's not the law. The third new argument is the appellant tries to make a case for general jurisdiction as opposed to specific. Now, Judge Womack, when she considered this, we were going on the basis of specific jurisdiction because that was what was alleged in the pleading in the special appearance responses. Now she's trying to make a case for general jurisdiction. And
that was never pleaded in the
trial court? No. And you really have to dig around and it's only mentioned once, and it's in a footnote of one of the briefs that they were saying that this is a case of specific jurisdiction. But even if you were to go there, and again, I'd like to refer to the John Hopkins case because that everybody knows John Hopkins University, and John Hopkins University or Hospital was sued down in Houston, and they filed a special appearance, and the trial court denied it, said you have enough contacts here that we're gonna hold you in here on general jurisdiction. And the evidence showed that John Hopkins had employees in Texas, they had students from Texas, they participated in collaborative research in Texas, they got gifts and bequests from Texas, they even had a registered agent in Texas. They appealed the court's denial of the special appearance, and the Court of Appeals said, no, this is not enough. You have to have systematic contact that such that an out-of-state defendant would anticipate being hailed in Texas court. All of those, and I think that's quite a bit of contact, frankly. But that just shows the type of contact that you have to subject yourself to general jurisdiction. And we don't have any of that in this case. There's just none. In closing, I think that the evidence in this case, it just does not justify the exercise of personal jurisdiction over either of the appellees. The appellant did not sustain her burden of proof at trial, at the trial court level. Judge Womack correctly sustained the special appearances, and on behalf of the appellees, I would ask the court to affirm Judge Womack's decision. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Have you been down this line at Moon Ridge?
I have.
Is it still there? It's still there.
Did you
want to turn around and look out for the spot?
After you do it the first time, it's okay. Now, what they do is they have what the polar bear challenge where they do it on New Year's Day. it's...
Have you done the polar bear challenge?
I have not done the polar bear.
That reassures me.
Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation.
Yeah, if I may, Your Honor, there's one other issue. I would not have requested oral argument in this case if the appellant had not requested oral argument. My client has incurred a lot of expense for me to be here today, including travel time and preparation time, hotel. And I know that the court has inherent power to assess attorney fees, and I would ask the court to consider that when making its ruling.
Thank you for your presentation, sir, and your case will be submitted.
Thank you.